There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the
This is our weekly call on Thursday evenings for the Republic for the United States of America. My name is Kelby. I'm an American. I am also a what is referred to as a citizen of the Republic for the United States of America. Today is the 16th of October. We do these calls Thursday evenings every week for the last 4 or 5 years at 6 p.m. Pacific. This call is an introduction call for the people of the United States of America Corporation, its employees, law enforcement, 14th Amendment citizens, and the men and women of our armed services. This republic government, not movement, this republic government called the Republic for the United States of America has been re-inhabited. We are law-abiding, peaceful Americans. We are pro-government. You can consider the republic members are simply sick of the corruption. We are fathers, mothers, sons, daughters. We have families just like you. We simply found some truths, and we're sharing these truths with the rest of the world. So get ready to hear things that sound impossible, but they're true. And get ready to understand that you, too, could be a part of history. We welcome each one of you to the Republic for the United States of America. I'd like to ask our Vice President, Mr. Dan Owens, if he'd please open us up in prayer.
Certainly, Kelby. Father, again, we just thank you for your great love for us, for your mercy, for your care. We thank you, Father, that you have brought us to this point, that you are leading and guiding and opening up truths and understanding, Father. We pray that the content of this call would bless you and further your kingdom, Father. Be with each speaker on the call, that you will anoint their words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's going to be a call specifically focused on the grand juries and on a travesty that's going on in Florida. For a lot of people that are coming on the call that are skeptical or new or don't understand really what this body that we call the Republic for the United States is, I want to share with you really some important thoughts and some important things that can be found in law. And what we have done over the last 6-7 years, we realize, A, that this country has been in a state of perpetual martial law for the last 150 years, since 1861. And because of that state of martial law, we really don't have a system of justice that we thought we had, which is really kind of why we're in a position we are on the discussions that we are discussing tonight. So, hold on. Time frame. So what we're basically asking for you guys to understand is that these courts that carry a gold fringe flag across the country, so these courts that carry that gold fringe flag, I would like for you guys to understand something. This is the law pertaining to the gold fringe flag, and this is important for us to get our minds wrapped around. The gold fringe flag only stands inside of military courts that sit in summary court-martial proceedings against civilians, and such courts are governed in part by local rules, but specifically and especially by the Manual of Courts Martial, edition 1994, U.S. Government Printing Office, Washington, D.C. The point is, that gold fringe flag, it belongs to a corporation known as the United States. Title 28, Section 3002 says the United States is a federal corporation. So when you walk into a federal building, I want you to understand jurisdiction just for a second. Look around the outside of the federal building. You will see non-gold fringe flags hanging all around. But the second you walk inside that federal building, they are first going to ask for your identification, either a driver's license or a United States passport. And what happens is you're going to present that and show them that you belong in that court because you have submitted yourself to the jurisdiction of that court, because you have submitted yourself to contract law within the United States territory. Now, if you look at the Black's Law, 6th edition, the definition of the United States, there's three different definitions. The first one speaks about the District of Columbia. The second one speaks about the land that they reside over, known as the United States territory. And the third one is the states that collectively are bound under the Constitution. We are the third one. We are the one that we've thought we always were, but never were our entire life. And so as a body of people that are born and raised, and they show the Declaration of Independence playing at the Super Bowl, and Colin Powell reads it, and making this big, big presence, the reality was that was available, and that is one of the jurisdictions that do stand. But that never happened. So we've been in that state of martial law under the corporation ever since. And that's why Terry, the gentleman we're going to be speaking about tonight, really had his rights usurped, because he is a corporate citizen with no rights under the Bill of Rights. The state citizen, the republic citizen, is the only one that has access to the Bill of Rights. And Terry is learning a very valuable lesson. And on that, I see you on the call now, Bob. I'm going to yield the floor.
Well, I appreciate it. I have Jason on with me. We got on sidetrack there, but I'm pleased to present him tonight. And this is very important because, as everyone knows, who was on the calls prior when we had Roger Dowdell and Terry Trussell on explaining the grand juries to us and what they are. What they're for, this is a follow-up on that whole development. And we are so lucky to have Jason on with us tonight because he is very competent at doing his job. And he's done it with a lot of named people. He is a commentator. He's a strategist, motivator, thought leader. He is experienced, and he has just come out of the meeting of that county commission. So we're going to get an eyewitness on tonight's meeting, plus he did an in-depth interview with Terry before, which is on his website, and which we want you to all know is there. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time because he's the man with the most current knowledge of exactly what's going on, and I'm pleased to introduce you. Jason, please take it.
Bob, I want to thank you guys so much for having me on and for really shining a spotlight on this issue that's in Dixie County, but, you know, it hits home for all of us. As you said, I just came out of a county commission meeting here in Dixie County, Florida, and I just got to say, my heart is warmed. I met some amazing people tonight again. People have come from all over the state of Florida because of this issue, and the County Board of Commissioners met tonight. And I'm glad to hear that you did have Roger on to explain really the fundamentals of this grand jury under common law. And you know, when Roger spoke tonight, and I'll have all this on my YouTube channel tomorrow, and also on my website, jasonwhoyt.com, but when Roger spoke tonight, he said, you know, according to Florida statute, I mean, we're not even talking about common law, and all these guys focus on statutes. He said, even in Florida statutes, they say the county commission controls the budget. The county commission controls access to the grand jury. In Article 1, Section 1 of the Florida Constitution says all political power resides in the people. And later in the Constitution in Florida here, it does say that we are a common law state. And when the statutory grand jury was tainted, was obstructed by the state attorney, and Terry, inconsistency with his oath, with consistency to his duty, to even the Florida grand jury instructions, if you're made aware of criminal activity, you must act. You must try to convene the grand jury. He tried that, and it didn't work. So he brought the people together. They elected 25 jurors under common law. They voted two true bills of presentment. And in retaliation, the state attorney had Terry removed from the grand jury foreman position here in Dickey County and then was arrested. He was arrested on September 2nd. And his arraignment was last Thursday. Man, it's been a week already. His arraignment was last Thursday, and as my latest broadcast I put out at jasonwhoyt.com, when the judge says, Terry George Trussell, are you here? Terry stands up and says, I'm here to speak on that matter. And the judge completely ignored him and railroaded him, asked him three times, are you here? And at the last time, the judge slams his gavel down and says, seeing how Terry George Trussell's not here, they revoke his bond, issue a warrant for his arrest for failure to appear, and they arrested him on the spot because he was there. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life. The living, breathing man stands up, he's in the courtroom, and he's arrested for failure to appear. And I'm sure to a lot of your listeners, you get it. You understand the corporation, the fiction, and all of that. And crossing the bar and all of those different things. But just from the outsider looking in, and here's the thing, I oftentimes refer to it as an awakening. First, you look around, you're like, man, there's something wrong. There's something just not quite right about what's going on. And that's your moment. That's when you start to become curious. And then you start to search for the truth. And then you take yourself on this path and you learn as much as you can. You start reading the Constitution. You start understanding what our founders intended. Then you start reading history about what actually happened. And it's that awakening. But to the average Joe who hasn't even begun the awakening, when you look at this scenario, when you look at this case, the judge asks, are you here? He stands up because you're there. And the judge is completely ignored him. I was shocked. And he gets arrested for failure to appear. And the reason why he's arrested right then and there was because he was there. It was unbelievable. So the meeting tonight was to go to the county commission, the Board of Commissioners meeting, to remind them of their oath, to remind them of the Constitution, to remind them of the statutes that they so worship. And to say, look, there's an injustice going on in your county, and I understand the separation of powers. You can't fix the judiciary from where you are. But our founders intended we, the people, to have that power to hold them accountable, to keep them in line in the grand jury. And with the people's grand jury under common law, what they were asking the county commission tonight was to say, look, grant us access to the courtroom. We are the real grand jury under common law, the people's grand jury, not the statutory body that has been infected, that has been tainted and obstructed by the state attorney, who, by the way, the governor removed. The governor issued an executive order removing him from this case, the state attorney. So they're recognizing this. The Florida Supreme Court jumped in at one point. And I don't have all the details, but there was a judge swap, where all of a sudden Judge Hankinson is on this case, and he's the one who issued the warrant for Terry's arrest for failure to appear. He completely railroaded him, but it was wonderful tonight to see all the people from all over Florida. And I did a little recording afterwards, and I asked them to share a 20-30 second message for Terry, and a couple people, when they got done, just 20 seconds for Terry, a couple people just gave me a big hug because they understand what's at stake. They understand what's going on. It's just it's an amazing time, and here we are at the front lines of an incredible battle. Thank you.
Well, Jason, we of course are all sitting here in amazement at how that happened, and you know, it's kind of it's not kind of, for everyone the way we were brought up our whole life, the thing is so much trickery. I mean, this is no different to most people the way they view it than telling you turn circle, suck thumb twice, count to three, and then say ABC if you want to enter. I mean, it's that kind of a kiddie clubhouse feeling, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I'm actually kind of at the early to mid stages of writing a book, and I'm going to try to coin a term. I'm going to call it the statutory and regulatory industrial complex. And it's that it's that incestuous industry where they feed off of each other. And I think it was, 1946, the Administrative Procedures Act, that created that rulemaking body where Congress outsourced their responsibility to pass laws. And that's where they take a 2,000-page Obamacare bill and create 10,000 pages of rules. It's that nameless, faceless bureaucrats that are unelected that create all these rules. And that's where Obama now, through executive order, changes the rules without changing the law. And, you know, we always say, well, when it comes time for elections, well, you know, it's so complicated in D.C., we have to elect an attorney. Well, the reason it's so complicated in D.C. is because we keep electing attorneys. And they word it so complicated, they make crazy rules, and all the whole attorney field, the bar association, if you will, they all love the complexity. And even before I really explained a lot of this about the jury and the grand jury to my wife-to-be's friend's husband, we were all out to dinner, and he's an attorney in Chicago, and I asked him, I said, what do you think about the jury system? He goes, oh, yeah, well, we have to get rid of that. I'm going, oh, wait a minute, that was complete opposite I was expecting. I was like, why is that? He says, well, it's impossible for the average Joe to understand the complexities of the law in such a short amount of time to be able to apply it correctly and fairly. We need to have professional jurists. And, of course, I did a huge face palm right there. I just couldn't believe what I heard. But they create this, and you know, in the broadcast, I call it this hocus pocus. I was like,
well,
really?
That's true.
Because
that's
he didn't
true.
Cross the bar? Really?
That's true. It is hocus pocus, Jason.
Yeah, and right before that, and I found this out afterwards, but about half an hour before that, a deputy came out to Terry and asked him to look over these three pages of paperwork and asked him to fill it out and sign it. And they wanted him to have representation. And it, 3 pages to ask all these questions, really warning him about all the different things that could happen if he doesn't have representation. And I think they were mad because he was like, I'm not signing anything. I'm just going to speak. I'm just a man. Look at me. I'm standing here. You're accusing me of something. I'm just going to speak. And I think they were mad. But what's crazy is when Terry stood up to speak, he says, I'm here to speak on that matter. Well, you know what? If he had an attorney, the attorney would have stood up and said, I'm here to speak on that matter. But they didn't like the fact that Terry said it himself. You know, they'd rather speak to one of their own.
You know, that you said hocus pocus, and that's right.
Yeah.
Because the secret here, the deep, dark secret here, is that in 1938, our court system converted. And as you said, in 1946, regulations converted. And those two conversions all created a court system where instead of talking about the Constitution in a courtroom, they talk about the Uniform Commercial Code. And the Uniform Commercial Code is what's going on, not the Constitution. And the lawyers that are practicing attorneys understand that because that's how it's run. So whether it's chew bubble gum, make a bubble, count to three, or whatever the thing is, it's confined in their world. So they practice convicting people because they're all officers of the court, no matter which side they're on. And it's the process and procedure. It's not about anything else.
You know, we know justice is supposed to be blind, but they proved last week that they're deaf, too, by completely ignoring a man standing there. And he's still, to this day, in jail. I mean, it's...
Well,
it's,
and
it's
he better
bad.
Not sign anything or he'll stay there.
Right. And even this past weekend, he had a little bit of a health issue. And he went to the hospital, stayed the night one night, and then he was better the next day and went back. And, of course, you know, they don't notify anybody. So, you know, Marie, his wife, was pretty shocked and panicked when she heard about that. But she has been able to go see him, and his spirits were high. And I think he understands what's going on the outside, and there's a lot of people on many different fronts fighting for him. You know what's interesting, to go back, though, that you talked about 1938, and I think it was also in 1946. Around that time, was there a Federal Rules of Criminal Procedures Act that kind of tried to streamline a lot of this stuff? And one thing they purposely did was they left presentment out. And presentment in the Fifth Amendment is where the Fifth Amendment says no one shall be charged for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless by a presentment or indictment by a grand jury. Now, we all know what an indictment is, where, you know, the state attorney or district attorney, depends where you are, brings evidence forward to a grand jury, and grand jury determines whether or not there's enough evidence. You know, in today's society, when we hear on the media, on the news, oh, there's an indictment, ooh, somebody's guilty of something. That's not guilt or not guilt. That's just if there's enough evidence. But the other word that you ask everybody, and I didn't know what it was prior to 5 months ago, but you ask them what is a presentment, and most people have no clue. And that is the entire point of everything you guys are talking about, because the presentment power is where we, the people, as our grand jury, can begin an investigation on our own initiative without waiting for the presiding judge or waiting for the constituting court or waiting for the system, if you will, to tell us we can do it. A grand jury, by their own initiative, can begin this process, and that is the presentment power. But in 46, they completely left it out, and from what I understand, like in a law journal footnote, it said presentments are obsolete. You know, they didn't amend the Constitution. They didn't make them illegal. They just left them out. And so nobody today in a grand jury understands the true power that they have.
They don't, because they've been... Look, unfortunately, I'm old enough to know. I don't think you are, but I used to, when I was a child, it was in the late 40s. And when we got our first TV, we watched black and white cowboys. And you know what they did? The sheriff always called the court in session and brought the circuit judge in. But if anyone was born after 60 or so, that's not what you see.
Right.
And in 46, the more important and larger scale happening took place. It's called the United Nations. See, all this thing comes on board at the same time. United Nations goes in place. The Agenda 1 comes out of the United Nations. That's what we're under, Agenda 21, is almost completed, and that puts us completely into communism because it fills all 10 requirements. Agenda 21 is what Common Core is part of. I know these juries were seeking to redress Common Core. That's just part of the whole.
And I believe here in Florida, I think 10 or 11 other counties, their grand juries, the people's grand jury under common law, I believe that they have issued true bills similar, charging their local school board officials and state school board officials with bribery for the implementation of Common Core as well. So, you know, more and more people are waking up, but a lot of times they're really being ignored. But really what they're doing is all these folks that we've elected are laying their cards on the table. And, you know, when you ask the sheriffs, for crying out loud, last week when they arrested Terry, you know, these deputies are like, well, we're just doing our job. We're doing what they wanted us to do. It's like, man, you too swore an oath to the Constitution.
They're actually required to not obey an unlawful order, no matter who issues the unlawful order. If what happened in that courtroom, and Bob, I'm sorry if I'm interjecting on a turn here, but if what happened in that courtroom happened, the sheriff obviously saw a travesty and a crime, and his job is to not obey an unlawful order. And that sheriff is the high law in that court. That sheriff could feasibly arrest that judge on the spot for doing what that judge did. There's serious programming issues that we have with respect to our juries, with respect to citizenship, with respect to many different things that a lot of people really don't understand. And, you know, Bob, one of the most important things that people really need to grab onto pertaining to this topic, especially with Terry, is if Terry is one of the people and Terry jurisdictionally was in position, they would have treated him as such. Terry is not one of the people. He is a United States citizen, and he's had to prove that before with his identification as a de facto grand jury foreman. So one of the people, which is who would be allowed to sit in a common law grand jury status, is somebody that doesn't have contracts with the United States and taking that role as a subject, subclass, corporate citizen, a resident, which as we all know now, does not have all the rights of a citizen. As a resident, we have a reduced class citizenship and we fall under the zip code and are under the United States. So I'm only sharing this because a lot of people are going into this thought process, oh, we can and have and can tap into that common law grand jury stuff, and they can, but they should jurisdictionally position themselves properly before they do so. And on that, I yield.
Well, and that's an entire another huge matter of study, and as the grand jury is as the seeds of this whole thing are, to make matters worse, it's only today that the news broke. A bipartisan effort in the Senate, reported by Judge Napolitano on TV, they have determined to make in the United States Senate the entire United States, border to border, a battleground. That means they can class terrorism and apply it to the battleground. That means, and they said in detail, that if you are identified by any official, now you got to understand official, we got an entire separate government that's gone wild. It's called the bureaucratic agencies. Any official can point to a U.S. citizen or foreign, anyone who fits the criteria for the list at DHS without any proof, without evidence, and on that battleground, you can be detained without due process. Now, the key to what I just said is any, including foreign. What they've done is closed all the bases, and that's total.
Are you
so
foreign,
do you think,
Bob?
We're in a hurry? Do you think we're in a hurry?
Well, the question is what are these lawful definitions that they deem as foreign or non-domestic or non-resident alien or resident alien?
They don't have evidence or argue about it, Kelby. They just point you out and detain you.
Well, I agree, and that's the problem is they've used legalese in order to make the UN soldiers or the militarized police that we now have to believe that these orders have been given by their government, known as the corporate United States, and they're going to obey those orders. I will agree. I'm just simply trying to define for us who we are, and if we are truly republic citizens. Or
well, we can't go there tonight because it's way too deep and it'll wipe out the whole call. But I just want to point out that they've just made that move.
You know what's interesting?
To tighten the noose even more.
One thing that's interesting, if I could jump in there.
Absolutely.
There's this obscure Florida statute that was geared towards, if my understanding is correct, the history of it, is geared towards making sure no Florida government employees or agents or anything like that can do the whole, you know, it's called, under color of law, simulating a legal process. And it was, I think, toward making sure that government agents and agencies do not become judge, jury, executioner all in one, that people should have a due process. And it was geared toward making sure the Florida government agencies or agents don't do that to people. And what's crazy is that is what they charged Terry with, 10 counts of under color of law simulating a legal process. And here what you just said is now they just okayed it for everybody across the country.
That's the corporate United States Congress acting. And, of course, they're acting outside the Constitution because, quite simply, the Constitution not in play. The Congress isn't doing their job. They haven't for a long, long time. And these agencies have gone wild.
Well, aren't we supposed to wait for the Supreme Court to deny folks in robes to come down from on high and tell us what our rights are?
Well, let me put it this way.
Yeah.
We all know for a fact there's two things on that list that would affect Terry and a lot of us on the call. One, if you're a Christian, you're on that list.
Yeah.
Two, if you're a veteran, you're on that list. So, I mean, that list, and Rand Paul, well, I'll share this with everyone tomorrow. I haven't put it up on... I haven't put this Judge Napolitano. It's about a three-minute deal. I'll forward it to you, Jason, and I'll share it with republicfortheunitedstates.org on our site.
Great.
It's so important to see what he says and so blatantly obvious what loopholes they're trying to close. They see them as loopholes because the streamlined governance from the UN down to our smallest cities is now all Agenda 21. New World Order is the other name. And I'm going to get this out. I sent it to some of our leadership yesterday, but I'll get this to Jason, and I'll get this to our website. It's so important to see how they're closing their loopholes every time we do something to get that back open. And it's very late in the game. As they say, the frog is boiling and it's almost done. And Terry is a good example of this, because the question I'd have is, if we use our common sense, Jason, tell me how this fits. If they charged him with that and identified them as being protected within the scope of their duty, why was he not protected in the scope of his duty?
Absolutely. As you know, the grand jury is supposed to be an independent body. And he essentially, as a grand jurist, and even a foreman, should have immunity unless he himself infringes on the rights of witnesses. But you asked, right at the outset, your question is flawed. How, looking through the lens of common sense, can any of this happen? And it's really not based on common sense. There was retaliation by the state attorney. A new judge came in and completely steamrolled him and his rights. There's not a lot of common sense there. But I just ask people to pray for him and his family, and the cooler heads to prevail. And I thank you guys, especially for being a part of this awakening and helping to wake so many people up and educate them. It's tremendous.
Well, and Kelby, we need to take a quick break, and then we'll come back to complete and do your break for identification and directions here.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. I was just going to say that myself. Ladies and gentlemen, we do several calls during the week, one of which is tonight. This is the RNN Republic News Network call, where we talk to basically the citizens of the United States and the people that are fed up with really what's happening in this country, and trying to see what they've heard about is this republic government called Republic for the United States. Well, we address these various issues of Agenda 21 and different aspects of what you need to do to help out, participate, and join. And this call is held every week at 6 p.m. Pacific. We encourage you to invite your family and friends and get the word out. This literally is the only lawful body or form of government on the land. We've done some processes that you do need to investigate and look into for yourself that have sat back down in those vacated seats. And this call is designed for the purpose of getting other people in the know. So please invite your family and friends out to this call. And on Wednesday nights, we have a Building the States call, and that's probably one of the most important. Once you've elected to come aboard, you go into the Building the States call, and you start identifying what you could do to participate in re-inhabiting your local counties and state. And if you want any information at all about who we are, what we've done, where we're going, simply visit republicfortheunitedstates.org. Again, republicfortheunitedstates.org. I yield.
Thank you, Kelby. And what I'd like to do is ask Jason to pick it back up, and I want to give him a run here on what he's doing, what he's working with that would interest us and how we're going to continue to keep Terry in the forefront here. Jason?
Thank you, guys. You know, I pretty much had my awakening a few years ago. I've really been involved in politics, volunteering for a little over 10 years. But God put me at the right place at the right time, February of 2009. I was on the original call that launched the Tea Party movement. But, you know, honestly, if you would have asked me at that time some sort of detail, you know, what's the 17th Amendment to the Constitution and how did it affect the relationship between the states and the federal government or something like that, I wouldn't have been able to tell you. But since that time, I've been curious. I've been rolling up my sleeves and learning as much as I can. And I've been on an awakening, and I've been on a path. I've been asking God to light my path, light, you know, shine the light at my feet, be that lamplight at my feet, and put me in the right place at the right time. And I've met some amazing people and learned some incredible things. And I started doing a radio show. I mean, if you would have asked me 5 to 7 years ago, you know, are you going to be in radio? I would have said no. But I did a radio show in a couple stations in Orlando, and now I do it at home on a podcast, my own studio and all of that. And so it's jasonwhoyt.com. That's Jason, W-H-O-Y-P.com. I'm very active on social media. And really my approach is to ask a lot of questions. I'm in a tireless pursuit of the truth. I don't want to be lied to anymore. I just want the truth, and I want people to be real and not fake and not living behind a facade. And so if anybody wants to be a part of that awakening, part of that journey, and I really approach things as a common man, as the average Joe, when they see these things and they hear these things, what are they thinking? And I try to make it palpable for them to really foster that awakening. So, you know, a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, are already on board, already awake. But a lot of my material might be presented in a way that might help others. So, again, jasonwhoyt.com. Guys, I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you today. I yield.
Well, and we appreciate that you and others are out there doing that. What we try and do in the Republic is be inclusive. As Kelby mentioned, what we did is we brought dead seats that had been lying there since 1860, abandoned, because through the Civil War the transition took place, the corporation went off on its own, created a new seat, and left these vacant. The whole purpose of the Republic in 2010, we went and took back, retrieved, re-inhabited the seats that were vacant to protect them for the people. So now we sit here like a playing field, established, re-inhabited, capable of civil authority on the land. When the people come and come into the seats and get hundreds of thousands and millions to understand they want this and not this thing called Agenda 21, New World Order, communism, however you want to say it, it's all the same thing.
Right.
And that's why we're right here. And everyone is in the Republic, if you simply choose to be, instead of this thing that they snuck up on us with in a corporate function. And it's that corporate function of these ridiculous administrative courts, which are commercial entities operating at a profit, as a part of the corporation, do not conduct a law form under the Constitution whatsoever. They conduct a law form under the Uniform Commercial Code. It's an international process. It all goes right to Federal Reserve, IMF, and the whole thing is controlled and telling you what to do. Have you noticed your parking tickets going up? Have you noticed your cost of everything that has anything to do with fines and excess stops? It's all increased because they make money on all of it. It's about producing money.
Yeah.
When you walk into that court, you're guilty. The minute you take a deal, the minute you take an attorney, you will lose something. They'll plea bargain and make it less, but you're going to lose something because it's not what you were taught. It's guilty until paid is what it is.
Yeah.
And so that's why the Republic is here, and that's why everyone is welcome. You're assumed to be here unless you choose not to be. And all the rest are a whole lot of terribly significant details that are enormous. These statutory everything are so broad and deep. I've actually talked to attorneys that have quit their practice because they just can't handle it anymore. It's so complicated. Even for them, it's so complicated. They don't know whether they can chew the bubble gum first or count to three first half the time. And if they don't do it right, they get sanctioned. That's not, I don't think, much of a life, frankly, the one they live either.
Yeah, we weren't supposed to live like this. I mean, just the fact that when they go to law school, they have an area of concentration of the law, but yet we the people have to follow all the law. The fact that there is a dictionary and a legal dictionary, oftentimes with the same words but completely different definitions. We weren't supposed to live like this.
No, we
no. I have a question for Jason. Jason, I'm sorry if I missed this. I was knocked off the call for about 5 minutes. Well, Mr. Trussell, did he get hurt in jail?
Well, there was he fell back. He felt a little bit dizzy. Now there's he has some heart medication that he takes, and they took his glasses, and he ended up taking something that was a yellow pill, and his heart medication was not a yellow pill. It's supposed to be blue and a white pill. So shortly after that, he was sick. Didn't feel good, fell back a little bit, got injured, and they took him to the hospital. Now, whether or not, I mean, they're trying to get some sort of investigation, but I'm sure they're going to get stonewalled to try to figure out what in the world they gave him. That was, on Saturday, and he was released from the hospital on Sunday. He was only there for a day. But he's back, and I'll say in good health, but at least in better health.
Yeah. Does he have bail set?
He was on bond. It was revoked.
Correct.
Okay, so they are now doing a no-bail hold warrant.
Pretty much.
Which, you know,
I'm
still kind of new to all of this myself, but what I don't understand is that was supposed to be his arraignment. Last Thursday, and because of his failure to appear,
right.
Now they have him. So when is his new arraignment? And I thought
they'll sneak him in, and no one will know when.
Right.
That's how the game
is played.
I think
that it's supposed to be 72 hours, but I think the last day somebody spoke with him was yesterday or today. I mean, he still hadn't done that. So I don't know what the story is, but I mean, if there's so much misconduct there. It's unbelievable.
the whole thing is to get him to appear through signing that document and accepting a attorney. That's what this whole game is about. They want him to accept an attorney so they know they're going to have a smooth road forward and get him convicted.
Yep.
And if he signs, he's for sure in trouble, and if he doesn't, he might be there a while. And it's a hard road because they've stacked the entire state against him. Not the part that was missed here that I just realized, and I would like to fill in. He was never allowed. He attempted numerous times, as did people attempt for him numerous times in more than one county and the state, to file in his case his appearance. They put a statewide restriction on any clerk anywhere in Florida receiving a filing with his name in it, no matter who filed it. So his appearance would actually have been made by filing. And that's how the judge set him up for the ambush.
Well, it's interesting. On August 2nd, I believe, is when the statutory grand jury met. And shortly after that, you know, Terry deemed that that one obstructed and tainted by the actions of State Attorney Jeffrey Siegmeister. And so Terry went, I believe, the next Monday or it might have been Tuesday, August 5th, and filed a bill of information with the clerk of courts, which, you know, just a long, detailed, chronological statement of facts of everything that happened and all the actions by Siegmeister. In addition, after the People's Grand Jury under common law, they filed two true bills of presentment, two documents with the clerk of courts, and those were, what, August 15th at 4:30 p.m., Dana Johnson, clerk court stamp those things received. So both, if you search Dixie County records and you go to August 5th and August 15th, I believe those are the dates, those documents, you can see the line item for those documents. But everything on those line items say unknown except for the document number. Now, I know the document number, so I know those items exist. But when you click on the document and you open it up in PDF format, they're all blank. So essentially,
wow,
what he filed on August 5th as well as August 15th, they're blank. They're erasing it. They're,
well,
there.
Now let me see here. Let me
blank.
Chew gum and count to three. Do you mean that they were scrubbed?
Essentially.
Well, Bob, if I didn't know any better, that would be sounding a little snide.
Well, actually, Terry sent me those, and those numbers appear on totally different items now. I actually have.
Wow.
He sent me those. But NSA, if you're listening, I'm going to destroy them right now. You won't find them.
Well, I had those.
Hey, Bob, we got 4 minutes. Closing comments.
4 minutes. I'm going to give you. You get 3 minutes. Jason.
Well, look, guys, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you guys for having me on. And, you know, from a guy who's still learning, every time I talk to folks like you or meet people like the ones tonight, I learn so much. And I'm just grateful to God for putting me in this situation to meet such wonderful people and learn so much. We did set up a fund, a GoFundMe. I'm not sure if you've used that website before as a crowdsourcing, crowdfunding, but it's gofundme.com/justiceforterry. And we're trying to raise some money for some legal bills that he's going to be having here shortly, and especially while he's inside, his wife's unable to earn that money, and he's unable to earn that money. But I'll send you a link to that so you can email that out. We've had so many people just come forward and and contribute and want to help. And I just ask to pray for Terry and pray for an awakening in the country. You know, I bow down to God's law, and where man's law runs up and butts up against God's law, we know who wins. And we know whose side we need to be on. And, you know, it's interesting. Matt Kibbe wrote that book. He's the president of Freedom Works. He wrote the book, Don't Hurt People and Don't Take Their Stuff. That's the name of it. That's quite a it's great word to live by, similar to the Great Commandments. But I don't know. I just want to thank you guys. And again, I'm going to put out some information, some updates tomorrow, jasonwhoyt.com. Because I've had some really kind words said to Terry tonight that I recorded after the county commission meeting tonight. And anyways, I want to thank you guys for the opportunity.
We'll look forward to that. Thank you for coming on with us. We know it's late, and wow, eyewitness, nothing's better. We appreciate you. To you, Kelby.
Thank you. First of all, Brenda, you got the board on any closing song that we're going to be doing. But, Jason, I really appreciate you coming on the call. I can hear your heart. You're, you obviously have stepped into the gap for a guy who didn't know any better, just tried to do what he thought was right, and it's always appreciated. The problem that we have in this nation is many people are not stepping in the gap for others, and we as a body of people need to step in the gap right now because they are quickly moving onto our land, giving away our land, pledging us against the debt of the corporation, making us a surety, and many, many more things that I don't want to really get into. But the bottom line is it's getting pretty scary out there. And the only thing that I see, just like you had said, we need to be on our knees, especially for guys like Terry today. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to conclude our RNN phone call for this week, Republic News Network. We do hold these calls every Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific. We appreciate you coming on. We appreciate this very special guest tonight. Again, jasonwhoyt.com. Is his website. He does have a radio blog that he talks about this kind of stuff, so you might want to go and subscribe over there. But we appreciate you coming on to these calls every week, and we want to thank you. May God bless you, and good night. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Bob.
I'll say this to you about
that. I'm chasing down a memory of the way things used to be. Kids playing underneath an old street light, knowing they were safe when they laid down at night. I'm looking for something I ain't seen in a while. I'm looking for a feed his family, not worried about them moving it south, closing the doors and shutting her down tomorrow. I'm looking for America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Seems like I just woke up one day and it was gone, long gone. Searching for an old church steeple, where inside you'll find people who live their lives unashamed, and they ain't afraid to say God's name out loud. Yeah, I'm looking for for you folks to wave the red, white, and blue. Still believe freedom isn't free, and I guess it's up to you and me to find it. Yeah, we gotta find it, 'cause we're looking for the land of the free and the home of the brave.